The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One thing you have probably noticed as you have heard many different preachers in your life is that there is a common thread that sort of goes through all of their proclamations and their teachings and their sermons. And that is true of any faithful preacher because they attempt to convey to you not their own understanding, but the core of what the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the life of the world is. And this understanding, this gospel, this message of hope and salvation is something that is connected to the very oldest parts of Scripture, to the very oldest parts of the Bible. I mean, we heard these words from Isaiah today that talked very much about the same things that Jesus talked about in the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, those Beatitudes we heard last week. About blessed are the poor, and Isaiah says to go help the poor. Blessed are those who are hungry and are thirsty, and Isaiah says to go feed and give drink to the hungry and the thirsty. And Isaiah is exhorting his people to these good works, these acts of mercy that will change the lives of those around him, those who are poor and disenfranchised, those who are on the outside. And these words could very well be Jesus' words. But as we hear them from Isaiah as these commands, they also sort of come across as if we need to do this in order to enter God's presence. As if we need to do these works of mercy and these good deeds in order to somehow, earn a place at God's table and in God's presence. But Isaiah's words, as every command we hear in Scripture, comes after God's saving action. Isaiah's words come generations after the Exodus, when God led the people out of slavery into freedom. It comes after, many generations after, God feeding the people with manna in the wilderness and quail in the evenings. And for those who heard Isaiah's words first, it comes after the return from exile, when God gathered all of the Israelites back into Jerusalem and had them rebuild the temple and reestablish that covenant relationship. Everything, every command, comes after God's saving action, God's liberating action. And it may not seem that way because we can often forget. We can forget about what God has done, and we can see these commands and hear these commands as something to be shaping us. But Isaiah does lift up these commands, these good works, as the fast that God chooses. Because fasting is a way to prepare yourself to enter God. It's enter God's presence. It's an old way of doing it. For the priests would fast before they went on their duty in the temple, And the pious Jews would fast before they came into the temple to make their sacrifices. So you have these commands of God lifted up as preparations for entering God's presence. Now you also have a very similar attitude in the Corinthians reading. For Paul is talking to a community that very much like those scribes and the Pharisees and those pious Jews that would fast and prepare themselves, they knew very much how they were doing the right thing. They were doing the good thing. They were preparing themselves. They were holy. They were set apart for God's work. And they would tell you long and loud about how wrong you were and how right they were. And they would give you every proof, every reason why you need to change what you're doing and do it their way. Well, that, my brothers and sisters, is taking the law and twisting it back upon itself and forgetting that every command that God issues to us, everything we are encouraged to do in Scripture, comes after God's saving grace and rescuing activities. And that begs the question, why is God so intent on saving us? Why does God come to us again and again, saving us from slavery in Egypt, feeding us in our wilderness journeys, even coming as Jesus to live among us? Well, Jesus tells us exactly why God wants to save us and has striven since the beginning of our journey as wayward people leaving the Garden of Eden. And that is, we are salt and we are light. Now, if you're confused, I don't blame you, because salt is something that is almost ubiquitous in our society today. If you have a cardiologist, they'll tell you exactly how much salt is out there and how much you need to avoid it. So what is so good about salt? Well, in Jesus' day, salt was a lot more rare. It was so valuable and so rare that it could be used to pay people. And in fact, Roman soldiers were paid in salt for a portion of their services. And because it was rare, it was brought out for those special meals. When it needed to be elevated to a feast, you would add some salt to the food and draw out that flavor and elevate that meal into a feast, a celebration. And this is exactly how God sees us. God sees us as valuable, having an intrinsic worth. And God sees us as being there for the joy of the world, that our presence, our activity as God's people in this world brings out a savoriness, a flavor to life that wasn't there before, simply because of our presence. And we are also light. We are light because we were made in God's image and we shine with the light that was placed within us at the moment of creation. Remember how I told you this all goes back to the very earliest pages of Scripture. We were created in God's image and made with this indelible mark. And when we let that shine, it is so bright for all the world to see. For all of humanity, the entire spectrum of humanity bears this. But the world does want to cover it with a bushel basket and deny some people their humanity and deny that some are made in God's image. But there is an interesting thing. If you've ever had the chance to place a wicker basket on top of an open flame, it becomes a bigger flame. Those bushel baskets are kind of flammable. And remembering that it's Scout Sunday, as any good Boy Scout will tell you, that will catch fire and can be used as good kindling in an emergency. But that's just what the light does. The light shines through those cracks in the basket and then consumes the basket itself, so that what is thought to be something to suppress our image of God is actually a mode and a method for bringing it out even more. You are salt and you are light. This is the core of who we are, who God made us to be. And that is also why our righteousness will exceed that of the scribes and of the Pharisees. For all of those laws that they sought to uphold were to remind them of one thing, that they are salt and that they are light. And that without God, they would not be either of those things. And when we allow ourselves to enter into God's presence, unworthy though we be, whether we've fasted or not, whether we've prepared our hearts and minds properly, or have just come in knowing that we need something here and we will receive it and it will help us on our journey. No matter how we come, we are welcomed in this place in God's presence as salt, as having that value of having something to contribute to the world and that light, of being an image bearer of God. And everything, every command, every law within Scripture is designed to remind us of that fact, that we are salt and we are light. And so I leave you today with the same thing I gave the kids, the same thing, the same words that were spoken at your baptism, at the beginning of your faith journey. You may remember them, you may not. But you were commanded, after you were claimed as a child of God in baptism, to let your light so shine before others that they may see and taste your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.